Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. A great service department that will simply get it done for your current vehicle with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with all the repairs needed for your current vehicle, and a sales staff that's there for you and not just there for the sale. It's all part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Lots to get to today. We've got Neil Coolong back with us today, latest on the Steelers and the NFL, and Brendan Quinn covers golf and college hoops for The Athletic. He'll join us today as well. Also played in the Masters. I never realized this, and we're going to talk to him about his experience playing at Augusta, so that should be fun to get into. And of course, golf's now in the headlines because the new LIV golf tour is going to be getting underway this weekend. They've got Phil Mickelson now. They've got Dustin Johnson. And Tiger also just announced today that he's going to skip the U.S. Open and will aim to play the British Open instead in St. Andrews. The U.S. Open coming up in 2 weeks from now. First of all, with Tiger, such a shame, isn't it? Really? What are we going to do? I'm sorry, I just can't resist myself. This just continues to be storyline, and I know why. I'm not naive. This is purely the hater coming out of me, I know. But still, like, enough's enough with Tiger. And this is also interesting, too, when it comes to the U.S. Open in 2 weeks. They are going to accept Phil Mickelson and all eligible golfers. They're not going to seclude anybody that's now going over to the new Saudi league, the LIV league. And you know what? I think that's a good move, because while I've said what I said about Phil Mickelson in where his stance should be now with the PGA and the game of golf in general, but here's what I don't get about this new Saudi league. You can only see this on YouTube. And I get it, we're all head into the streaming aspects sort of things now when it comes to watching live sports. But I just still don't think this is going to work, and this is going to overtake the PGA. So, yeah, you've got some names in there, and Dustin Johnson and Phil Mickelson. But do you really think you're going to overtake the PGA by just having access to watch your live coverage on YouTube? You're crazy if you think that way. At least if you're going to steal anything from this country, you still need to have something on networks or cable networks. It's just the way it's been. So the PGA, in my opinion, shouldn't feel as threatened as they do right now with this new Saudi league about to get underway this week. And let's think about the two guys that are now joining this league. Yeah, Dustin Johnson, who hasn't done a thing on the course in years. Sure, he made a name for himself, but what has he done lately that can, other than him being a name, that he can maybe sustain himself and sustain that new Saudi league? And then obviously you got Phil Mickelson and everything that surrounded him. I don't think that's necessarily great for the Saudi league either, considering where things have gone with that, Steve.
Saudi league, we're going to talk to Brendan Quinn about this today.
Yes, and I'm very interested to see what he has to say about this.
But this is what... this is where they have a chance to succeed. Essentially, this is a rival league. Right? So when we look at the history of rival leagues, what's been their failure? Whether it's the Federal League in baseball, the USFL, the original one, the World Football League, the WHA, the ABA. So when you're looking at rival leagues, why have they failed? They have failed because essentially they're all going bankrupt. Okay? That's really what it comes down to. They weren't able to pay their bills. They were able, in some cases, to force mergers. Federal League, no. World Football League, no. USFL, no. But the WHA got four into the NHL. And the ABA got four into the NBA. Okay. But those weren't the only four teams in the WHA. And those weren't the only four teams in the ABA. The AFL was able to survive, but you know, the AFL, to their credit, they did it right. So what's the difference now with this league, LIV? They've got deep pockets, Matt. Deep pockets. They've got legitimate big time cash behind them, and that's why they've got a chance to succeed with this. Dustin Johnson going was a big blow for the PGA Tour. Kevin Na, like, at least, you know, as a player, I mean, you know, most of the other guys are older that are names. Lee Westwood, obviously Mickelson's 51. Sergio Garcia, you know, a lot of these guys can maybe get a win at some point down the road here, but they're no longer consistent. Or if ever winning again on the PGA Tour. For the PGA Tour, this is what they have to worry about. Is there a point where you lose McIlroy? Is there a point where you lose Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth? One or two guys where you go, whoa. Because these guys are going to pay money. The pockets are incredibly deep. And that is the big difference here in all of this. Now here's what, if I'm the PGA Tour, this is what I worry about. And I'm going to compare it to the suit's favorite sport. The suit's two favorite topics are IndyCar racing and himself. And when years ago, IRL, Indy Racing League, and of course they controlled the Indianapolis 500, and CART broke away. And CART, when they broke away with all the big names, especially Mario and Michael Andretti. But CART broke away with all the big names. And when they did, none of them raced in Indianapolis. And I think to this day, Indianapolis has not recovered. To this day, I don't think Indianapolis. I mean, Indianapolis is still a big race. Indianapolis does have an aura to it, but I think it could have been even more so had they not had the breakaway. I think the breakaway damaged the series, if not forever. It's been long-term damage. That's what the PGA Tour, this is where they are kind of walking a fine line. How about that with all this? And I know they're taking the line in the sand. That, you know, you do this, you're out. And I think they're trying to do that to keep other people from jumping over. But I'm not saying that LIV becomes the dominant tour or anything like that. Because I mean, I think they're only playing one event here in the United States, and I don't know what their TV deal is.
It's just YouTube. That's what I was saying before.
Yeah, but they've got money though. See, they've got deep, deep money. They can survive, and if they start, you know. Who's to say they don't go out and carve out a TV deal with somebody?
I mean, they may in the future, but right now it's just YouTube. And I can tell you this. I know we're all heading down that path of watching live sports online with the streaming and whatnot, but you still have to have somewhat of a TV presence.
Not as fast as people think.
Exactly. That's why they still need to have a TV presence if they're going to be successful. Either way, I still don't see it because it just hasn't been done before. And until it's done, I just won't believe it's going to happen. Something will get in the way. We'll get in their way. And to be honest with you, I don't think any of these names that have gone through, Mickelson especially now, Dustin Johnson, Kevin Na, these aren't names that are going to help them sustain the league. What have they all done in the past couple years? They've done Zipola.
Well, Dustin Johnson won the Masters and Phil Mickelson won the PGA. Those are two majors in the last 18 months.
They may have done that, but they just haven't been consistent.
Yeah, but they're draws. See, the difference, okay, Scottie Scheffler is a really terrific player. But is he a draw? Patrick Cantlay is a really terrific player. Is he a draw?
Agreed. And I've said that about the PGA. They don't have anybody like that either. But I still don't think what LIV is trying to do is going to overtake them either, and they become the new big league in golf. I don't think either league has anything to give or anything to take.
They don't have a Tiger Woods. I mean, the PGA doesn't even have Tiger Woods. He's not going to play in the U.S. Open. Now, remember, anybody can play in the U.S. Open. Mickelson can, Johnson can. They can all play. Right? You want to know why? It's a USGA event. It's not a PGA event. That's why they can. Aren't you glad I showed up?
Always.
You in the suit, both trying to take the thing over. I know what you guys are doing. I'm just joking around. But, you know, they can play in the U.S. Open because it's a USGA event. And if Mickelson wants to play in the Senior Open, he can. It's a USGA event. They're not sanctioned by the PGA. But, first of all, they haven't played a tournament yet. And people, okay, know they're here. Okay, got it. You're right about YouTube. I agree with you. You need a TV deal. But that doesn't mean they won't get one. And they're offering so much money to people. Matt, it's unbelievable how much money they are offering.
Oh, I know. But like you said, if they don't get that TV deal, they won't be able to sustain that. At least in my view.
TV deal aside, you were not talking about a poor group. they're being backed by Saudi money, and there's a ton of it. Hey, man, how much are you paying for gas? It went over $5 a gallon here today.
Yeah, in some places here. No, I get it. I get it.
And guess who just raised their price on a barrel of oil? The Saudis did. They just did it. And that's part of what the backing of all this is. They've got tons of cash. That's what's going to make them such a formidable opponent in all this. Because they can offer guarantees that other people can't do. That's what makes this tough. All right. Take a break. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
And Escobar shoots one down the right field line toward the corner, and it's beyond the reach of Mazzara. Alonso is in to score. Canna right behind him. It's going to be a triple for Escobar. He's got the cycle. Eduardo Escobar with two more RBIs, six for the night, and he has hit for the cycle, the first Met in 10 years to have a single, double, triple, and home run in the same game.
Boy, it's great to see some team playing quality baseball in New York.
But the other side of New York may or may not have the best record in baseball still. Just saying. But good for him.
Yeah, but they keep playing double-A and triple-A teams. When are they going to play somebody legit?
They just swept the Angels. Kicked their rear ends out of New York.
The Angels have lost 12 in a row.
Yeah, and they're getting pretty bad now. But they got Houston coming up. They have two series with Houston in the next like 10 days at the end of the month. After they have Minnesota, then they got Toronto, Tampa, and then they have series squished between Tampa with Houston too. So we'll know about them.
Wow, this is going to be really exciting. I can't wait. This during the NBA Finals?
That's all right. They'll be over by the third quarter. Then you can go watch.
You've got the Yankees have just tremendous starting pitching. Starting pitching has been outstanding here during this run. I know there's a lot of concentration, and justifiably, on Aaron Judge, who has been terrific, but the Yankees starting pitching has been outstanding.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. Well, they have the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That's so important. And a great service department to back it all up. Oil changes, other routine maintenance, inspections, diagnostics to handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15. And Hummel's work. All right. Neil Coulong in a moment. Then we'll have Brendan Quinn in the next half hour. As we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL, we will get into the subject of the Steelers here. And then also we do have to discuss the situation with Deshaun Watson. And with that, we bring in Mr. Coulong. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Never. Not at all. And thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, my friend. So let's get to Najee Harris. At the moment, probably a couple Happy Meals shy of getting to 250. What about the... I mean, he's 244, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize he was 6'2". I thought he was a little shorter than that. What is your reaction? I know it's only June, but what's your reaction to that?
He's big. We knew he was big. He just doesn't quite get the accolades for being that big. He really is a power guy. He's got good feet. He can make guys miss, but he's a between the tackles type of chain moving running back, and that's probably the weight I would think that they'd want him to be at, because he looks like he carries that very well. I mean, it's if you see him up close, you can tell he's that big. When you see him on TV and you know that running backs just simply aren't that big anymore, you think he's like 5'10", 220, something like that.
Yeah.
He's really big. And he doesn't have the breakaway speed to make him much of a difference maker, but I don't think him cutting weight is a good thing either. I think he's pretty lean. And with that, he's going to have all the agility he's going to get. It's not going to be his weight is not going to hold him back. I think he's naturally around that weight. And if that's plus or minus a couple pounds, which, you know, that's going to, at his age, it's going to fluctuate day to day anyway. He's at his game weight. He's at where he should be with it. And he looks good. He looks conditioned.
Okay.
That's
right.
Probably more important overall.
Because I thought he was like 230 last season.
Was he? I think he was listed at 232. He told the media he was like 244 last year or something like that.
All right. That's
get into 10 pounds at that height, it's tough to see exactly where that's going to go, but he's a big kid.
I have very few criticisms of him. I think he's a good pass receiver, good blocker. He's a good running back. He's not a great running back, but he's good. He's a good running back. But at Alabama, at full speed, you start breaking tackles when you're in the second level, which is what he did repeatedly. With the Steelers, there was a crowd in the backfield. He didn't break tackles. Is it the hope on his part that doing it this way will help him break tackles?
That's an excellent question. I'm towing the line carefully here. I have said about Najee Harris almost word for word exactly the way you introduced him. I think he's a good running back. I don't think he's a great one. I don't think he's going to be a great one.
Mm-hmm.
He statistically, he forced a lot of missed tackles last year. If you marry the film to the statistics, you can see that he made those out of desperation a lot of the times. He wasn't making them at the second level, like you mentioned he did at Alabama. He also did not break a whole lot of plays at Alabama. Now, for me, if my running back isn't breaking long plays in college, probably not going to do it in the NFL very often.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Probably pretty safe to say that. And I don't think we saw Najee do that. Now, everyone's going to yell, what about this play? What about that play? All right, well, when you get the ball 400 times a year and you break five plays, you're not breaking plays.
Right.
Okay, that's not what that means. I don't think he's able to do that. He's not that kind of athlete, but that's probably, again, why they're having him carry 240-plus pounds. They want him to get yards after contact. Making guys miss would be great, and certainly he has the ability, and this was what I think the Steelers lacked in 2020. They would have been a much different team if they were able to do this in 2019, which is what led them to draft Najee Harris in the first place. He can make 0 yards into three. He can make 1 yard into four or five. That's a big difference when you're driving down the field. Over the course of the season, though, that adds up. And it costs a lot to get short gains. Mm-hmm. You should probably find ways, a multitude of ways, to convert third and short as opposed to lining up in 12 and running the ball between, you know, your A or B gap. Harris is going to get you that, but the frequency in which he's getting it is a concern for his long-term viability. But I also might argue that you're drafting 20th overall, you have the worst running back room in the NFL, that's not even an argument. Drafting a running back in order to pick up these specialty downs at 20 overall, or 22 overall, where did Harris go, 22?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
You're in the back half, back third of the first round. Should you take the four or five all-pro players who are there readily available every year? Or take the guy that has an immediate need for your team and a guy that can step on the field and play right away? I get the value of that. And with that, too, I might even say 4 years cheap, fifth year on a fifth year option for one of the least valuable positions in the game in terms of dollars, and then maybe even a tag. That all told is probably, what, 6 years for $25, $26 million, something like that. Yeah. Is that, if you let him walk after that, if he has six seasons, is that a bad investment for 22 overall? I don't think so.
Right.
His career might be over by that point.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you're going to get a lot of work out of him. And I think that's kind of their plan. I don't think they look at you know, the cliche way that everyone wants to say it. When you draft a guy, you need to, you know, get a guy that's going to be with you for 13 years. I don't know how in the world you could possibly think that that's a consistent thing. I mean, it's just way too many injuries. It's way too rough of a game to count on anybody except for maybe a quarterback lasting that long in today's NFL. And that's mostly because quarterbacks barely get hit anymore. Anybody else, though, they're getting hit plenty. If you draft a running back, is it unreasonable to think 6 years, maybe we get two all-pro years out of him? With Najee Harris, maybe we get 2,000 yards from scrimmage once or twice. Over six seasons for $26 million, which is barely between $4 or $5 million a season, is that a bad investment? I don't think that it is. So I see the value of it. But at the same time, for me, it's about the usage, the frequency of it. If you're running the ball 400 times with one guy, there's a lot of things wrong with your offense. If that's just the way it is nowadays. You can't go on multiple 15-plus play drives scoring points on them and win games anymore. You just can't. Your opponent has players, has the ability, and has the desire to stretch you vertically, and they're going to get big plays and big points on you. So if you think you can score 31 points playing that style of football, okay, you're going to run that team straight off the field if you do, but you're going to need to do that 11, 12 times if you want to get a home game in the playoffs. So for me, it's a strategy that relies too much on defense, and it's not a defensive game anymore.
Right.
It's not about Najee Harris necessarily, a player that I think is good, not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a game-breaking player, though, and I hope the Steelers found a few of those in this draft, in this free agency period, and improve their offensive line. Maybe that gives them the ability to not need to hand the ball off to a 3.8 yard a carry running back, but we'll see how they play it.
Yeah, and again, when we're saying he's good and not great, we're not insulting him. It's fine to be a good NFL running back. Just he's not one of the top five guys, at least yet. We'll see. The quarterback situation: they acquired Trubisky, they drafted Kenny Pickett. Where does Mason Rudolph fit in all this?
He's going to fit in a lot better on one of a number of teams in the NFL. I don't think there's a way in the world they have any desire to keep Mason Rudolph. And some of that is, like, they want to go in a different direction. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's just what they want to do. Rudolph can't possibly say he didn't get a chance. He's had multiple opportunities. And I'm not saying that he didn't avail himself reasonably well in some of those instances. He's got a lot of bad film, too. And for me, I remember distinctly talking about this after the game last year. The game against the Lions, he was not good. That was not a good performance from him at all, considering the situation that he was in. And I understand that it might have been you aren't sure, he didn't get to fully prepare, he might not have been used to it. But it was like, look, you're not going to get a perfect opportunity. This is the offense that they were going to have the next season that Rudolph, you know, if Ben is out of the way, Rudolph gets the opportunity to start. It would not have been much different anyway, and I don't think that it is. He had the chance to step up and make his case, and to be honest, I don't think he played particularly well. I'm not surprised with the moves that they made as far as bringing in the free agent, and as well as, keep in mind, they tendered Dwayne Haskins, and then they drafted Kenny Pickett. So they made three transactional moves, none of which support the idea that they really wanted Mason Rudolph on the team. You can make the case that, you know, what they really wanted to do then was draft a rookie, bring in the probable starter from free agency, and let Haskins and Rudolph battle it out, or figure out which one you could trade. That might have been the case for them, but now being where they are, Pickett falls to them, and to be honest, not making a comment on Pickett's ability or anything of that sort. I don't think there were many circumstances in which they honestly thought Pickett would fall 20. I really don't think that was the case. So I don't think they planned on that. They would have liked to have taken a quarterback if there was one that they liked available at 20, and there happened to be one. I don't think they banked on that, though. All of that said, Rudolph is a veteran. He's got 1 year left in his contract. An injury is going to pop up somewhere. Right. I, out of respect, I think they'll trade him just because, like, in long term, he's not here. Trubisky is more or less on a 1 year contract, and he has a longer contract than Rudolph does. There's no way Rudolph is back on the team next year. So trade him somewhere where he might get an opportunity to get an extension and stay in the league. Do right by the guy. He gave you his best effort. You didn't pay him a whole lot of money anyway. And you gave him a shot. Probably didn't work out the way that you wanted it to, but, you know, he didn't do anything wrong by you. So I think they'll find a spot for him to go if it's a 2024 draft pick in exchange. Fine. You know, that's probably what it'll end up being. Somebody will need a backup, maybe a fringe level starter in a guy like Rudolph, and Rudolph probably stays in the league for another couple of years just because of the experience that he has. So it's time to move on for both sides. I think I'd imagine they'll give him a chance to kind of see how things go in training camp, make sure there isn't an injury. That's really what he's there now for, insurance more than anything else. But I would suspect, injuries aside, I would suspect they're going to trade him.
All right, now let's get to the one we don't want to talk about, but at least let's take it from a league and a Browns point of view, and that's the Watson situation. It's now up to 24 accusers. Again, he was not indicted by a grand jury. These are all civil lawsuits, but they're all civil lawsuits that contain details. Many of them seem to be relatively similar. All right, so that establishes that. The Browns traded for this guy. The Browns gave him a huge contract. They gave him also a parachute year because he would only get $1 million if he suspended this year. They have not released Baker Mayfield. Right, he's still there. How does the league need to look at this situation, and who in the heck is in charge of vetting in the Cleveland Browns organization?
The word that I would use to describe this, just from an administrative perspective, is unprecedented. Nothing even close to this has happened in NFL history.
Well, the two words I would use, one I can't use, and the second one is show.
Right. Exactly.
I can't use the first one, but people know what it means.
I understand. And I mean nothing by this, but if we are to look at this strictly through the lens of business, ignore everything else. Now, we'll get into the ethics of doing that, but if we are looking just at the value of it, what Cleveland paid him and what they gave up for him are market level. That's not unexpected. Whatever the final number rested on, I wasn't going to be surprised, but it was going to be fully guaranteed. It was going to be well over $200 million, and they were going to give up 3 first-round draft picks. That's what the price is. Russell Wilson more or less got the same thing, and Russell Wilson's 8 years older. So it's that part of it aside, they paid market value for somebody that it appears to be drawing in an entire subway car full of accusers of all the same thing. Now, I just read Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated said the league was surprised with the 24th accuser that just came up. Surprised by what? There's right. 23 people that accused him of this. You think one more is the surprise? There isn't a right turn for anybody in this. The whole thing is one word I can't say, show.
Yes.
How they got to this point, though, is driven solely by the idea that the fact that to win consistently in the NFL, you need a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And there's one available for the Browns to take. And I'm certain I'll walk that back later. I would think it would be certain the Browns had a lot of trepidation about it. But what it comes down to is the price is the price. You can't haggle over the price. That is the market price for a quarterback Watson's ability.
Yes.
Do you want this guy in your locker room? That would be my problem. And I'm not trying to stand on a pulpit, but more of my issue is what comes with this. It's not the fact that this is what you pay a quarterback of his ability. That's a foregone conclusion. To bring him in knowing there is just simply no way you could think you're going to the price is going to be that astronomically high. That big of a deal is about to go down in the NFL, and no one else is going to say anything. Is there anyone else who's going to come forward? No. I'm not going to believe that from anybody because, frankly, you don't know who's going to come forward. Somebody else is going to come forward at some point.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the guy who's now paying him to do that? That would have been my thought. I don't know why. I don't know why the Cleveland Browns feel Deshaun Watson is somehow synonymous with championship, because clearly he's not in the NFL.
Right.
There have been over 50 teams who have won Super Bowls without Deshaun Watson on their roster. It is possible to do that. The Cleveland Browns also have a very good football team. Now, I don't necessarily think that Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in the NFL. I know that they had to pay him a lot of money. Seems like he gets hurt a lot. And just from my observations, objectively speaking, it seems like he's pretty bad when he's hurt. I mean, we've seen that team completely fall apart. When they lost their running back last season and Mayfield was hurt.
Yeah.
He tried to play through it. I thought that was a mistake at the time. I still think it's a mistake. I think we're in this situation because of that.
Yeah.
Mayfield could win games. And if you're looking at a one-year type of deal before you want to go find another quarterback, I really think you could have done better than Deshaun Watson at that price to take on the baggage that is Deshaun Watson. There's just way too much there. And that's not me making a stance of guilty or not guilty. It's just very simply, I don't want the circus that's going to come with this. Something happened. I don't feel like this guy is in my best business interest to be around.
Let me just end at one final point. From a common sense point of view, we all know that most athletes now are surrounded by, quote, teams. Right? They have a team of people around them. Okay?
Exactly right.
Right? And part of that team of people, for some of them, happens to be, right, you know, a massage therapist who, quote, knows them. Hey, you know that pain I've got, that pain I have on the left side? In other words, they know you so well that when you're describing to them what the issue is, they've got a good handle on it.
And that's exactly why they want one person doing it.
Yes, exactly. 24 is a big number. All right. So that's just sitting in this chair. All right.
Even worse. I mean, you ask any high-level pro athlete. I know this because I had a conversation with James Conner about this between his rookie and his second year. He said, I didn't ask him directly what he spent his money on, but he had mentioned he got a nutritionist, he got a chef, and he put a lot of money into equipment.
Yep.
And I just to get the answer, I asked him why. He said, I'm investing in my body.
Yes.
That makes sense. You're a professional athlete. You need that.
Yes.
You need, you know, that's 24/7, 365. Another issue I don't think gets considered enough with Watson, from the perspective of the other guys in the locker room, they know you don't have 24 massage therapists.
Exactly. That's
so
right.
Whatever about not guilty or guilty, they know that you don't have that. To them, more than anybody else, and they're not going to say it, but to them, more than anybody else, they know how weird that is. And it's really – I can't say this I'm trying not to get myself in trouble, but I can't say this any more clearly than this. That is very atypical for an athlete of Watson's stature and financial means. That is really not normal at all. For quarterbacks especially, they are hyper-control freaks.
Yep.
They keep their circles very, very small and very tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
what Watson is accused of would be the opposite direction.
Yes.
Of people who are doing that the way that other people do. That in and of itself to say nothing of, you know, the victim stories themselves and, right. and how undermining that might be. But that in itself just suggests that this guy is just plain and simple not making a lot. He's out making a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah.
Do you want to invest in this guy to this level?
No.
I don't know. Again, I'm not running the Browns, and I know that it makes no difference to the GM if he gets fired because this doesn't work out, but I'm just saying that that's a lot.
I just wanted to have everybody understand that from a common sense point of view, right? And then I think that's how we attack this part of it. Neil, a pleasure as always. Thanks so much. You are appreciated more than you know.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Boy.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.